Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. Are hospitals killing people for money and following evil guidelines because they're just being told to do so? And so they do it. Maybe because they want government financing or other motivations. There could be multiple motivations. This is a big question. This is something I've been wanting to tackle, but have not had enough people come forward in the media or had a media presence about it enough to where I could truly cover it, because I have heard stories from so many people that this is happening. But besides that, I know in my own family and know people personally where this kind of stuff has happened. And therefore, I will tackle the issue because others are afraid to. But I'm not afraid of tackling any issue. I just need solid information. I've wanted to tackle this for months, but there's more and more solid information about this. I have tackled one time about remdesivir and the dangers of it, but we're going to tackle more on that too. If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, hospitals, especially since COVID-19, they were doing this actually before COVID-19, but really since COVID-19, they have changed to where patients are basically prisoners. It's not like you're in full control and you can check out anytime you want. When they have you there, they try to force stuff on people and force treatments on people. I know people personally that had to fight like they are a crazy person just to get out of a hospital and save their own life. Where they were, I know of stories of people that my family knows that has been relayed to me, where someone saved their life because they were going to be forced with a ventilator on them. And they're like, I don't want a ventilator. I don't need any of this. And they wanted to give sedatives to this person and knocked them out and said they're going to put them on a ventilator. And they demanded and had to scream and go crazy to force the hospital to release them the next day. But they had to fight the whole night and had to worry that they were going to still come and sneak and put some sedatives into them. And then they got out of the hospital. They're totally fine. They never needed any of that crap. How many of you know somebody with a story like that? It's becoming common. And no one wants to talk about it because there are good doctors and good nurses. Let's admit this. It's not usually your good doctor that is doing this to you, but hospitals are doing this. And the hospitals are doing it because they're following orders. Look, Dr. Gina Primetime played testimony about the dangers of remdesivir and other things that are actually happening in hospitals, and I want you to hear it. And this all comes from Senator Ron Johnson's hearing on all sorts of things about COVID-19 and the vaccines, a hearing that should have been heard around the world, but they didn't ever want to carry it. But if tons of people get the sound bites out there and it's getting out there, by grassroots, we will get the truth out, and that's what we're doing here. This is an issue that a lot of people are afraid to touch because we don't want to say that doctors are killing people on purpose. But I'm telling you, hospitals are forcing doctors to follow protocols that they know are not beneficial to the patients and will eventually kill the patients. And it seems the motivation must be money. Take a listen.
And I want to play some of Dr. Paul Merrick's testimony about remdesivir and ivermectin.
If you look at the four independent studies, including the large study by the WHO, it shows the opposite effect. Remdesivir increases the risk of death. Let me say that again. Remdesivir increases the risk of death by 3%. It increases your chances of renal failure by 20%.
Let me pause there. I've heard even higher stuff. So it depends where you get your statistics. So remdesivir, there's been statistics all over the place on it. None of them have been good that I have seen. Remdesivir seems to be very awful. And yet, the CDC has been pushing hospitals to make sure they push this treatment. And they did it at the very beginning, near the front end of when COVID-19 hit in 2020. And many people think there's a conspiracy that they did that, knowing this would be harmful, knowing that they're going to put people on ventilators because remdesivir can shut down your organs. And so when people were having their organs shut down, then they would say, oh, they need a ventilator. And they were getting paid for this understand. They were making extra money. And this still is a treatment that the CDC is still trying to force. Are they trying purposefully to drive up the numbers? How can they force something that they know is harmful, very dangerous? They can't say it's not dangerous. It is. Oh, well, I guess they can. They can lie. When there are other treatments out there that are safe but are extremely inexpensive and they can't make a ton of money off of it. Remember that as well. And remember that the CDC has motive that if you have other treatments and if there are other ways of treating COVID-19, then legally they're not supposed to have ever developed a vaccine. That's for when there are no other treatments. But when something is extremely treatable without a vaccine, then they're not supposed to have vaccines be administered to people. So that's another huge motive as to why they want to shut down any real treatment of COVID-19. The money makes them go there. I'm not making this stuff up. I wish I was. I wish I was like CNN and I was just making this stuff up as I go along for whatever reasons they lie for, because that would mean that people are actually not being in this horrific situation with their government basically waging war against them in a way. I wish it wasn't true, but it is true. Here's more.
This is a toxic drug. But just to make the situation even more preposterous, the federal government will give hospitals a 20% bonus on the entire hospital bill if they prescribe remdesivir to Medicare patients. The federal government is incentivizing hospitals to prescribe a medication which is toxic. So, it should be noted that remdesivir costs about $3,000 a course. Dr. Corey spoke about ivermectin. Ivermectin reduces the risk of death by about 50%. It costs the WHO 2 cents. 2 cents.
That is all you need to know. It reduces risk by 50%. Remdesivir increases your risk of dying. And they are using remdesivir, and they're still pushing it. And they're paying hospitals to do it. And that's why the hospitals are doing it. Besides the fact that they were paying hospitals to label people COVID-19 patients, we know that. And I assume, I don't know this for a fact, but I think they were also paying hospitals extra money to use ventilators, which is why they were giving sedatives and really basically killing people. But they can excuse it, the hospitals, because they can say, we weren't killing people. We were trying to help. The CDC gave us these guidelines to do it. So then they think they're fooling God, is what they think they're doing. Because they can say that to man, and CNN will report it and believe it. Oh, yeah, they're helping people. That's what they're doing. They're helping people with this. When the science proves they're not helping, it's harming, and they're getting paid to harm people. That's what the science says. That's what the stats say. That's what the numbers say. And they know it. But they will say, well, no, if the CDC recommends it, then it's us following the guidelines, and we're helping people. And because wackos in the liberal media who will push any lie put in front of them will push that lie, they think, see, we're fooling people. Even if they are fooling people, and they might be fooling millions of people, they're not fooling God. And if one of them is a hospital administrator and you're watching me right now, you are not fooling God. God knows everything you're doing. You can't pretend like you don't know this stuff. You're not dumb. How did you get to your position if you're a moron? Are you a moron, or do you know the truth? You know the truth. You are sick and disgusting. You better change and repent right now, and you better not run your hospital this way ever again for money, or money is your master, and you're going to hell for money, and God's going to throw you in hell if you don't repent, because you know what is going on. This is enraging. Folks, I know people in my own family that this has happened to, and I know so many stories that have been told to me. There is no doubt this is happening all across the country, because I know too many people. But I'm glad it's finally being talked about out in the open so I can bring a show so people don't think I'm a wacko crazy person who's just using my own personal experience. I have personal experience with this crap. So I know for a fact that hospitals are doing this. Hospitals are becoming scary places, and that should never happen. It is actually scarier to go to a hospital if you think you have COVID-19 than to not, and that should never be the case. That should never be the case. And that is the facts. And they don't want you to know it. Here is a lot more testimony. This one is from Nicole Sorotek. She is the founder of American Frontline Nurses. She gave testimony, what she saw in New York. And she gives testimony about all the horrors. I got to give you as much as I can. Take a listen.
But when I was in New York, and what continues to happen today, is that many of them are not dying from COVID. Now, many people don't know about me is that I'm actually a master's prepared biochemist, and I have worked extensively with the HIV virus, tracking genetic mutations. So I feel very comfortable going toe-to-toe with some of these doctors here, although I am not a doctor. I'm just a nurse. But what we saw on these front lines, we knew what was happening. And when we asked for the ibuprofen, they said, no, it was contraindicated. When we asked, like, why aren't we giving them steroids? Oh, well, it's not. We're just following orders. Following orders has led to the sheer number of deaths that has occurred in these hospitals.
Let me pause it there. You see what she's saying? How they put their head on their pillow at night is they say they're following orders. They pretend to be dumb. This is what all sinful actions do, though, folks. This is not new. Little kids learn this right away. You steal a cookie, pretend to be dumb, and act like you didn't know. I didn't know it was bad. I stole it, but I didn't know. I didn't know what I was doing. Criminals do this all the time, even as adults. People who do sinful actions will always act like someone has an affair. I didn't know it was going to lead to that. Yeah, they actually did. They didn't care. They put themselves in, and maybe initially they didn't want to, but it will put them into that position. And they will say, I didn't know, because it's a sinful action, and they want to excuse it. That's human nature. The hospital administrators, that's what you're doing. I didn't know. Yes, you knew. You knew, but you cared about money more. Admit it, because if you don't admit it to me, God's going to make you admit it to him. And you better admit it before you get to God. You better admit it before you get to God, because it's too late when God forces you to admit what you've done. More.
I didn't see a single patient died of COVID. I've seen a substantial number of patients die of negligence and medical malfeasance. When I was on the front lines of New York, I'm unfortunately known globally viral as the nurse that was in the break room sobbing, saying that they were murdering my patients. The pharmaceutical companies had gone into those hospitals and decided to practice, I guess you can say, on the minorities, on the disadvantaged, on the marginalized populations. That we know while I was there and I saw that the pharmaceutical companies were rolling out remdesivir onto the patients, I tried to get a hold of the IRBs, I tried to get a hold of my appropriate chain of command, I tried CMS, I tried Department of Health. And they rolled out remdesivir onto a substantial number of patients, for which we all saw it was killing the patients. And now it's the FDA-approved drug that is continuing to kill patients in the United States. As nurses, we've collected a statistical or descriptive amount of information that you may not get from the doctors, because for more they do quantitative data, we do qualitative data with a humanistic, phenomenological approach in nursing research. And so we've collected the data from all of these patients across the country from which we have been helping patients, because I formed the organization American Frontline Nurses and the Advocacy Network so nurses could advocate for these patients. And all of this data pool shows that as these patients get remdesivir, they have a less than 25% chance of survival if they get more than two doses. Now they're rolling it out on children as well, and into the nursing homes or skilled nursing facilities as early intervention, when, as Dr. Pierre Corey and Dr. Merrick have already demonstrated, that there are cost-effective medications out there, and we are going to see the amplification of death across our country.
This is pure evil, and they want to give it to children too. And this is why I do want you, if you know a hospital administrator, I don't care. I'm not afraid of these punks. Send it to them. Let them be scared of God. Let me warn them about God so that the fear of God overtakes them, so they'll turn their life around. Because they're headed straight down an evil path, a path that will send them to hell, and that's not a joke. and they have to turn around. So if you know hospital administrators, send it to them. Send this video to them. I want them to see it. I want them to know that I'm telling them this, because I believe in God, and I'm trusting in God, and I know that God will strike the fear of God in their hearts. Now, that doesn't mean that they'll change, because their love for money might be more than their fear of God. But it doesn't matter. When they stand before God, I want them to see this video so God can say, I had people send you that video, and you can't say you didn't know. I don't want them to be able to even to try to say they didn't know. They know. But let's make them have to admit that they knew, or that they know at least right now. And maybe there's a few that don't know, and this video wakes them up, and it changes so that our hospitals can be a safe place instead of a place that people are afraid of right now. How many people out there are afraid of going to the hospital? You have every right to be, sadly. That should not be the case. I wish I could tell you differently. I'm not saying that don't go to the hospital when you have certain situations, but it's your choice, and you have to weigh the facts, and you have to see what hospitals are doing so that you can decide what is the best treatment. Do I need hospitals to be taking care of me over this, or do I not? Do I need something else? Make the best decision for you. But the problem is we got to wake these people up and not let them act like they don't know what they're doing, because they know. They just put their head on their pillow and say, I'm following CDC guidelines, so it's not me. Oh, it's you. You don't have to follow that. You're doing it on purpose.
And we haven't even touched on the vaccines, for which all of our expert panels have already very well described that situation, so I won't touch on that, since many of them are by far superior to me than even I could ever hope to be. But I can tell you that 2 days ago, I flew out my first 10-year-old with a heart attack, and I had to fight the doctor in the ER, because he's like, 10-year-olds don't have heart attacks. And I argued back and forth for 30 minutes to force his hand to get an EKG, to find out that he had almost a complete STEMI, which is ST elevated myocardial infarction, for which you could see it lit up on the 12-lead EKG. And he's like, well, that's not possible. And I'm like, well, he was just vaccinated yesterday. It is very much possible. At any given time, people are getting a hold of me and the nurse advocates at American Frontline Nurses to help advocate, because as you've seen, there is victim shaming that it's anxiety, oh, it's this. But in actuality, if they put down that it was a vaccine injury, the physician, the corporation, the hospital, the clinic, they actually won't get reimbursed. So it gets labeled as anxiety or neuropathy or Guillain-Barré syndrome, when in actuality, it's very realistically a vaccine injury. Now,
see, now there is financial motive to hide vaccine injuries. And yet we're still seeing in VAERS, the self-reporting, that there are 40 million, they say 1 million, but they underreport by 40 times. So you have to times it by 40. So if VAERS is saying 1 million, it's 40 million injuries that have occurred from this vaccine. 40 million. 800,000 deaths, they say 22,000 now, but it's really over 800,000 deaths due to the vaccines, and that's with them hiding this stuff and have financial incentives not to label these vaccine deaths as vaccine deaths, and especially if something is 2, 3, 4 months out, 5, 6, 7 months away from getting the vaccine, you're really not going to get those in with the numbers. This is amazing. It's just horrific, but it's the truth. More.
I'm not, even though I founded American Frontline Nurses, I've traveled extensively to South America, India, and South Africa, working in hot zones, stopping the spread of the virus, and working with early intervention. And nowhere in those countries, in developing nations, do I see these issues that we see here in the United States. It's actually, I'm a very proud American citizen. I come from a family of immigrants, and my mother told me that the United States is the best country in the world. Though granted, I am biased being an American. And our level of healthcare has been deteriorated to substandard third world nation healthcare. Whereas I tell people, you are better off in South America in a field hospital than you are in level one trauma designer hospitals in the United States. As nurses, we are getting reports across the country from our American frontline nurses about patients not getting food, patients not getting water. How come a patient hasn't been fed in 9 days? Why do I need to get a court order to force a hospital to feed a person who isn't intubated and who's literally telling you they would like food?
I know people personally that this has happened to, that the hospitals purposefully, I know somebody that has died because they did this to them in the hospital. The hospital, I contend the hospital killed them. I know there's multiple stories I've heard this. What the hospitals are doing is they're dehydrating people and not feeding them and getting, then they give them sedatives as they're not feeling well. And it's usually an older person that they do this to. They don't usually do this to a young person, but older people. And the older person then isn't feeling well, so relatives come to visit and they're like out of it, but they don't know they're out of it because of lack of nutrition and lack of hydration. And they're not giving them it. And then they say, well, they can't feed themselves, but they are giving them sedatives so that they can never actually do anything to them. And then they slowly put them on, they can, if they have COVID, if they label them a COVID case, they'll move them to a respirator. But if it's not COVID, it can be other things. Hospitals are just doing this. They will start to tell the family members they need to be on hospice. That's what needs to happen here. Here's, can't you see? But they're actually starving these people. She is admitting it, and I have personal knowledge of this happening. Personal. So don't tell me it isn't happening if she's saying she's seen it all around where she's been, and I know it's happening, and I bet you know somebody that's happened, but some people haven't even put it together. Some people have had it happen, and they didn't know it, and now they're thinking back, and you're thinking back to whoever your older relative was. Think back. When you went to visit, do you know if they were actually getting nutrition? I'm telling you, I know it's happening because I have personal experience with it through family. So trust me, what she just said there, that's happening big time, and it's scary and evil. Let me play just a little more.
Oh, well, you can't take your BiPAP mask off. Well, that's what us nurses are for. We're going to help you take that off, and we're going to help you eat, but we're not allowed to. If you know, if they're on a ventilator, they're not getting basic standards of care. I've had patients that haven't been bathed, haven't been fed, haven't been given water, haven't been turned. And if you ask me, this isn't a hospital. This is a concentration camp. That's right. Absolutely it is. Nowhere in the United States do we isolate people for hundreds of hours at a time with no human contact. It's not even allowed in the prisons.
But they are doing that in hospitals, and it shouldn't be allowed. It's ridiculous, it's evil, and every hospital administrator that is running their hospital like that, you are participating in pure evil, and we see you, you're not innocent, and even if you get away with it here on Earth, you are not getting away with it in front of God. So laugh at me, don't turn, don't repent, take your chances with God. That's your funeral, not mine. But I'll let you know that God has vengeance. And the Bible tells me the vengeance is the Lord's. We don't take vengeance and don't need to as Christians because God will take vengeance for us. And guess what? It's going to be way worse than anything man could ever do to you. So if that doesn't scare the crap out of you, you're a fool. You should be scared. You should be scared to death. But you're not. Many of you don't care because you've got your money. Well, you're going to leave that money behind. And it's all going to be worthless. And all the items that you have built up in your house and your items doesn't mean jack squat when you stand before God, just so you know. Well, bring it with you and see if God cares. Try to pay God off. Let's see how that works. You don't have to. I know we're in a society that mocks what I'm just saying. Mock it. Your place in hell is hotter if you mock it. That's not a joke. It will be. So go ahead and mock it. I dare you. Here's the truth. You better not mock this. You shouldn't. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Jesus said that about himself. If it offends you, take it up with him. You're going to stand before him one day, so you can, if you want to. I would suggest that you believe him. I love you guys. Go out there and win the day. Grassroots style. Spread the truth. It will make a difference. See ya! Hey guys, straight from the New American Magazine, the essential source for freedom-loving Americans, obviously, you gotta check out Beyond the Cover. What is that? Well, the New American Magazine, of course, has a cover, and you wanna go beyond that, right? But beyond just the cover story, but all the articles in there, you will find interviews and deeper insight from the people who contribute to the New American Magazine and go deeper and beyond the cover. That's with host Gary Benoit. So go ahead and check it out right at thenewamerican.com. Go now.